Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to answer your question or discuss your real-life issue. And we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call right now. 1-800-677-9377, because the Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. And this is your invitation to listen and take part. You'll see how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. Let me read a couple of verses to you. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest? That's an interesting statement on its own. There's more to it. But there's an explicit meaning here that perfection could not be attained through the Levitical priesthood.
Right.
So something had to change. Well, what changed was that this other priest needed to arise after the order of Melchizedek rather than one named after the order of Aaron. For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. For the one of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no one has ever served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, and in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. That is a powerful statement,
yeah,
right?
I'll
there.
Say.
All of the priests that descended from Aaron, from Levi, who was the head of that tribe, died. They're human. They lived and they died, and then the next generation came along.
Right.
Jesus has an indestructible life. He lived and he died, but he was raised again and glorified. And so when he died, he fulfilled the entire Mosaic covenant, the entire old covenant. And when he came back to life, that gave us the chance of receiving the Holy Spirit as eternal life.
Yeah.
And that happened on the day of Pentecost, and then from then on, whenever anyone accepts Jesus as their Savior. That is so powerful. And most of the time, we think, at least we tend to think, that, well, there must be something I have to do. That law is there to keep me on the straight and narrow, or to keep me from running amok, or, you know, all of these other things. And what we don't realize is if we try to go under that Mosaic law when we're in Christ, we are going to fail just as badly as we failed before we were in Christ.
Yeah.
It's inevitable, because that law could not bring perfection. Under Jesus, within this new covenant, there are two laws. The first one is to believe in Jesus. Take him at his word. Bet your life that he is the person you need. There's no looking forward to a coming Messiah. He came.
He came.
His name was Jesus. We're looking forward now to the King. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, we've got the Messiah,
yeah.
Jesus. The second law is to let him love others through us just like he loves us. That's one of those things when you look at the old covenant law. Really, they were being asked to love each other. And that's what they failed at doing, because we cannot love each other with God's love. Well, now that Jesus has come and the Holy Spirit now lives inside of us, there is a possibility, because of the Spirit's ministry inside each one of us, for that love to overflow to others. And now we begin to see what relationships in Christ are all about.
Yeah.
And that will change your life when you get a hold of it.
I'll see.
It's not that we hate the old covenant and we're you know, new covenant bigots. It's that the old covenant did what it was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Jesus did what he was supposed to do. And now we are alive in him. We were never alive under the old covenant, but we are alive in Jesus now.
That
believe it. Hold on to it.
Yeah. Hear it, believe it, and live it.
Yeah.
This is Basic Gospel, everybody. Richard Piper, my name is Bob Davis, and we'd love for you to join us on this edition. 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call all across the country and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Metairie, Louisiana. Let's talk to Anita, listening on WLNO. Hi, Anita. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Hi, Anita. Welcome.
Thank you.
Sure.
How can we help you today?
My daughter-in-law had a medium come over to her house, and they had my daughter over there and a bunch of people, and I don't believe in that. So, of course, I wouldn't invite it. I wouldn't have gone anyhow. But it says in chapter 8, 19, it says, "And when they shall say unto you, speak unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people speak unto their God for the living to the dead?"
So your daughter is in trouble.
Well,
I hate to say it that way, but that's the fact. When you're playing with Satan through a medium or any other means, you are putting yourself in harm's way. And what your daughter needs is to come to Jesus. Pure and simple.
Well, that was my daughter-in-law.
Okay, your daughter-in-law.
Yes.
Yeah. The issue of spirits and the other world and that kind of thing is satanic.
I believe that.
It exists. It really exists. And Satan's in charge.
I told her, I said, even the Satan comes as an angel of light.
Yes. But the good news is that if any person comes to Jesus and receives the Holy Spirit as that seal, the down payment guaranteeing their salvation, then Satan can no longer indwell them. They can't be messed with in that way by Satan or his demons.
Let me say this. My daughter-in-law is Catholic. She doesn't believe that the Bible was spiritually, that the writers weren't spiritually led.
Okay.
She said it was written by me, and of course I disagree with her. And that's just it. She don't read the Bible. She believes it was just written by man.
Okay. So here's what you do. There is nothing that you can do to force her to believe in Jesus.
I know.
Okay. She's an adult, but you can love her. You can love her without participating in this very dangerous activity. So, just be a good mother-in-law to her. Love her as much as you can.
I love her, and she loves me, too. I really do.
Then one of these days, you never know if it might be you or somebody else, but someone will get a chance to share Jesus with her in a way that gets through. God's not abandoning her. God wants her to be his just as much as anybody else. But she's got a choice in this matter. And at some point in her life, actually in many points in her life, between now and when she dies or Jesus comes back, she will be faced with one of those decisions. Should I accept Jesus now, or should I go and say no? And God will keep coming back to her and bringing her to points of decision. And one of these days, hopefully, she will see the wisdom of accepting Jesus and walking away from the very dangerous stuff that she's involved in.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. I'm sorry that she's going through this and that you're going through it, but our God is capable. He is able to deal with this, and so leave it in his hands and make sure that you're just asking him to help you to have the wisdom to relate to her properly.
Thank you, hon.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Anita. Good to hear from you. Take care now. 1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock and plenty of open lines. 1-800-677-9377. Let's go talk to Heidi, listening in Wilmington, North Carolina on WMYT. Hello, Heidi. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Oh, sure.
Our family is suffering a horrible tragedy. My son was killed a little over a year ago, and we're all believers. We're leaning on God through this kind of sad journey that we're on here on earth. We know where he is. We know we'll see him again. But, you know, obviously I'm searching the scriptures on suffering. And just because while I'm waiting to see him again, I need help as a mama.
Okay.
So, and at first I was kind of afraid to read it, but I have been, you know, thankfully, and of course God met me through his scriptures and just talking about the sovereignty of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just something, I'm 53, I've been studying since I was 18, and it's just not something that's really preached a lot, because I don't know if we're afraid of it, or it's just kind of a scary subject, but I've just been encouraged by knowing that God was there that day, it was part of my son's plan, and even though sin's in the world, and definitely sin had a part in that, it wasn't that occurrence deterred from his plan. And that's been, and all of that I'm learning through scripture, and that's just very, very encouraging. But I get a lot of flack about that. Like, I get a lot of like, well, no, it's just Satan took over and, you know, he gets the victory basically. And I just don't believe that.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Satan does a lot of things. He can bring about a lot of pain and agony, but mm-hmm. God is sovereign and God wins. Even if someone dies, God always wins.
And God would not have allowed it if it wasn't according to Brody's plan. And so, like, my 12-year-old came up to me, and I hadn't been sharing any of this, because I think it's kind of deep for a 12-year-old. And she came up to me completely out of the blue. She's been studying on her own, and tears in her eyes, but a big smile on her face. And she said, Mom, you know what I was thinking? I was thinking it's kind of an honor that God chose me to go through this, because when I'm weak, he's strong. So it's, wow. He's chosen me to go through this suffering because he's got a big plan for me.
Yeah.
And you know, but like one of my best friends who's a total believer said, why did Satan do this? And at first I said, I don't know. And then later I thought, well, wait a minute. Can that just happen, that he just cruises in and screws up God's plan? You know?
Yeah, well, that's the common belief. I was raised in a tradition that put Jesus and Satan at exactly the same level, and they're duking it out, you know, in a cage match, chained together with knives, and whoever is standing at the end is the winner. And there's some doubt that Jesus might win. And that is completely wrong. And it leads to unimaginable things when suffering occurs. I can give you a personal example. My mom died when I was 11. It's an accident. We're at the funeral, and then we went to the cemetery, and some well-meaning saint came up to me and said, well, don't you know, Richard, it's God's will that your mom died.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 11 years old and going, you've got to be kidding me. Now, God was sovereign in that, but God didn't kill her. You know, something else killed her. And that, even at 11 years old, got me to thinking, mm-hmm. just like your daughter is thinking at 12. And that was one of those watershed events that years later, when I'm starting to ask serious questions about what do I believe, that came back to me. God brought that back to me and said, you knew the truth then, even though you couldn't really say it. You knew that I wasn't responsible for that.
Exactly. We give them too much credit. I feel like we're just giving them too much credit. It's not like good guy on one shoulder, bad guy on the other shoulder.
Correct.
Like he's on a leash.
Yeah, I'm sure you've read this already, but I want to bring it up for the rest of our listeners, because you and your daughter are absolute examples of this. This comes out of 2 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That is one of those verses that proves that in spite of the terrible things that happen in this world, that God is working things to our good and to his glory. And he is equipping you to deal with some of these people who say such horrible things to you, because one of these days, one of their loved ones might get an incurable disease or have an accident or get hit by a drunk driver or whatever. And then they're going to be left standing there wondering, well, how could God do this? But I remember this strange person named Heidi who believed differently, and maybe I can talk to her. And you will be there at the time they need it, because you've walked by faith through one of the hardest things any parent is called to walk through.
And you know, and we just don't like to think of God being, you know, God will not do evil, but he will use, if he has to, use evil for his glory, you know, for his plan. And he's using my sweet son's death for his glory right now today. My daughter showed it, and there's other things, you know. So, and that's the thing, is we just don't, and like, you know, when it says that the Son of Man must suffer, well, that was before it even happened, so there was a plan in that.
Yes.
So, and we don't like to look at those verses.
No, we don't.
Well, it's like, well, after my son's death, it's like all of a sudden I became highly motivated to read it.
Yes, yes. That's the beauty of this gospel that we talk about here on our program. Is that when you come to grips with the fact that Jesus dealt with sin once and for all and has brought us eternal life once and for all when we accept him, and that in him we have forgiveness, then whatever happens to us, good, bad, or indifferent, we can say God is sufficient to this. His grace is sufficient to this. And I can get through this. And well, what most people don't pray is, God, help me get through this $10,000 raise I just received. Nobody prays for that, but we should pay attention to that just as much as we pay attention to the things that go wrong, the broken leg or the death or something else. We are to walk by faith in the indwelling Holy Spirit, because that's the only way to live this Christian life. And Satan hates that, because if he can get our eyes off of Jesus and onto the bad things or on the good things, whenever our eyes are off of Jesus, then Satan is able to pound us. And when we get our eyes back on Jesus, then Satan's accusations are meaningless. The terrible things that happen have meaning, and life changes. And I just so am thankful that you called and talked to us about this today. I hope people listening out there are listening very closely to what you've said, because there is no such thing as bad news in Jesus. It's all gospel.
No.
It's all good.
Yeah, and that's just such a temporary comfort to say that, oh, well, Satan did it. It's just so temporary. It's there's no comfort, real comfort in
it. Not at
all.
There's
no long-term comfort in it. And so there's got, if you're a Christian, you've got to go beyond that and that veil of Satan doing it and look past it to the cross, because that's the real vivid picture. And it just bugs me when we're just passing it off, and in a way we're giving glory to Satan for the credit. And it's definitely not helping my grieving, you know, to hear stuff like that.
But the other does. The other heals you.
Yeah, and that's why, thank the right God attitude. For his word. Thank God.
Yes. Well, Heidi, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Wonderful that you did.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I listen all the time.
Oh, thank you.
Don't hesitate to call again if we can be of help, Heidi.
Okay, bye-bye.
1-800-677-9377. A little time on the clock and open lines for you right now. See, you know, this is kind of a strange thing. Some days we are literally overflowing with calls. Other days it's very, very slow. Today is one of those slow days, and we get to catch up on a little email, so that's good as well.
And we get to spend time on a call like Heidi's
and
really investigate it a little bit more. That's a good thing.
Yes, indeed. Well, Richard had an interesting question from Randy in Waldport, Oregon. It says, can you please explain Proverbs 17:9? For my understanding, whosoever would foster love covers an offense, but whosoever repeats the matter separates close friends. That's Proverbs 17:9.
Well, that one's actually fairly straightforward. What Solomon was talking about here is that we're dealing with things like rumor and innuendo. So somebody comes to you and tells you something really juicy. If you're the kind of person who is covering that offense, seeking a love solution rather than retribution, you're going to bring people together. You're going to stop the rumor mill right there. At least it's not going to go beyond you, that your friend could take it someplace else. And you may be one of those people God uses to heal the situation. But if you're repeating a matter like that, all you can expect to do is to separate close friends, to ruin relationships. So, right there, even in the Old Testament, with people living under the Old Covenant, this guy, Solomon, realized that the love God wants is not the love that we normally find. Mm-hmm. And so what we should be doing, instead of repeating all these juicy rumors, is to just stop it right there, nip it in the bud, deal with it, find out if it's true or not. Let's assume that it's true. Go to that person, and like we're told in Galatians 6, restore them gently.
Yeah.
But be careful that you don't fall into the same thing they did. But this is about restoring relationships between people and in some cases, bringing them maybe for the first time to Jesus for salvation. Yeah. There's nothing better than that. Nothing worse than continuing the terrible news as it flows on down the line.
Absolutely. Well, Randy, hope you're listening. I hope that's been a help to you. Quickly, to Emmett, Louisiana, let's talk to Wayne, listening on our Greater New Orleans, Great New Orleans affiliate, WLNO. Hi, Wayne. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing fine, man.
Hey, Richard, I just kind of walked in and caught the tail end of your conversation with that young lady.
Uh-huh.
And you were saying some things that I really do believe I need to hear because, oh, man, could you go over that? I mean,
I'll try and do it briefly.
In particular, per se, I just
Heidi was calling about
walking in faith with the Spirit and and sometimes I just feel like I'm doing a miserable job at that.
Well, all of us do, and so we're not graded on the basis of our abilities. We're graded on the basis of Jesus's complete victory.
Yeah. So
Heidi was talking about suffering, and in her life, her son was killed in an accident a year ago, and she had a lot of well-meaning friends who came and said, "Well, you know, Satan killed him," as if something like that. And so she was driven into the Word of God to find out what it has to say about suffering and what God does about that. And so when we are going through suffering, we can rest assured that God is sovereign, and he's turning that to our good, and he's going to bring glory out of that to himself. And that doesn't mean he caused it. It doesn't mean he lost to Satan, didn't lose a round to Satan. This is a chance for us, whatever the suffering is. Sometimes we suffer worse when we, make a mistake ourselves than when somebody else is hurt.
I'm not going through anything what Heidi's going through, but some of the things that I deal with, and I just, sometimes I just get so tired and I don't understand, and I know my thinking is usually all in the wrong direction, and it just frustrates me. If I could just, get that one thing to give me a clue to what I'm doing wrong so I can, turn around.
We're almost out of time, so I'm going to have to cut you off. The one thing that we always do when we get into these messes is that we take our eyes off of Jesus. We put them on ourselves, and we wonder why it is we're not behaving the way we should be behaving. Put your eyes back on Jesus. This applies to Wayne. It applies to anybody who's listening. Walk by faith in the risen Jesus Christ, and you will see a way through. He will take you through it. He will encourage you. He will give you life, and he is the only answer.
Yeah.
Thanks, Wayne. We've got to go.
Absolutely. Thanks to everybody for joining us. And friends, we're now in the final week of the offer of our new Bible study series, The New Covenant Journey. Yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. When you support Basic Gospel, you're supporting the life-changing, liberating truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ that is constantly changing lives literally around the world. We all have the opportunity to be a part of something very special through our gifts to Basic Gospel as we continue to disseminate this wonderful message. You'll find a donate link at basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 between 9 and 6 Central Time. And with your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, you're going to receive a copy of the New Covenant Journey Bible Study Series. And that, my friends, is a double blessing. Take advantage of it. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.